The first case on the court's oral argument docket this afternoon is Wynn Resorts Limited Petitioner versus the 8th Judicial District Court and Kazuo Okada et al., case number 68439. Mr. Bice, are you ready?
It pleases the court, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, Todd Bice on behalf of Petitioner Wynn Resorts Limited. I'd like to reserve 7 minutes of my time for rebuttal. There is no dispute that this is a very large case involving a lot of money. I would probably acknowledge it may very well turn out to be the single largest case in terms of dollar figures in the state of Nevada history. It could very well turn out that way. That is in dispute between the parties. But with that being said, at its core and at its base, this is a case involving a dispute about Nevada's business judgment rule. The Wynn Resort Board of Directors deemed it appropriate under the terms of those articles of incorporation for Wynn Resorts to redeem the shares that were ultimately controlled by Mr. Okada and companies he controls. His defense of that action, however, has been to say, well, I want to focus on anything but the basis for the redemption, which is what the board members had unanimously found after engaging former federal judge and FBI director Free and his firm to do an investigation into Mr. Okada's activities in the Philippines. And there, Mr. Free and his staff laid out in detail in a report to the board of directors the activities that Mr. Okada and his companies had been engaged in, including the payment of very large sums of money to regulators for Mr. Okada that, in fact, resulted in him acquiring a gaming concession in the country of the Philippines. Mr. Okada's, again, response to that in discovery, once Wynn Resorts redeemed him and then sued over his conduct, has been to claim that everything that this company has been engaged in since its inception in 2002 to the present is fair game for discovery. He has issued collectively, I think now it probably exceeds 1,000 requests for production of documents to the various defendants in the action, 300 and some plus to just the company itself. He obviously has also sued individual board members, etc. Those requests have ranged the entire gamut of the company's existence. Of the 78 that are at issue in this writ proceeding, because those were the 78 that was the subject of the motion to compel, I want to be clear on something. Every one of their requests that was the subject of the motion to compel was granted, and granted in the terms as the record sets out in a summary motion granted. One of those requests was discussed at the hearing on the matter, and that was it. Those requests range from everything, every board meeting held since 2002 when the company's existence, every document from the IPO for the company, every document concerning the sale of the subconcession in Macau, every document concerning the acquisition of the Cotai Strip property in Macau, which of course every subconcession holder has such property, and every document relating to any types of internal investigations that the company has done concerning the people that it does business with. Those are just examples of what is encompassed within those 78 requests. Now, we submit that the Okada parties themselves in their opposition have confirmed that this is the very definition of what, for the last 20 years, actually more than 20 years, approaching 40 years now that I think about it, that this court has said blanket discovery orders saying without any analysis of relevancy, likelihood to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence, are not appropriate. And this is the very classic definition of such an order. The Okada party's response has been, well, this court's cases that have dealt with that have dealt with tax issues and with medical records, and so therefore that's somehow what this court has limited its prohibition upon blanket orders. And that's just simply not accurate.
So do you want us to send this back? Is that what you want us to do? Maybe get a special master appointed to go through the 78 to see what is correct that Okada's entitled to and what he's not entitled to?
Justice Cherry, I think I would not ask the court to direct the district court to appoint a special master. I think that would be a matter within the district court's discretion if the district court determines that it needed someone to do that. But the, yes, the relief that Wynn Resorts is seeking is really a writ, and that writ I'm asking for the two instructions to be given to the district court. One is that a claim of pretext, because this is important, and I think this is important not only in the context of this case, it's important in the context of almost any case. To claim that there is a pretext, you must have some evidentiary basis for it. Pretext cannot be advanced and open the door to discovery, to use the terms of Walt Disney, limited only by one's imagination. And that is essentially what has happened here. Mr. Okada and his team have a very vivid imagination and have claimed that everything, as long as we say might have been motivating this board, that means it's open to discovery. We don't have any evidence of that, that's what they say, but it might have. So I'm asking for two things from this court. One, remanding it back, telling the district court that this pretext argument must, a discovery request, must have a factual basis, not just, well, maybe something happened, it might have happened, so therefore I'm entitled to inquire about it. Two, based upon a proper application of that standard, that the district court's record must contain some findings as to how these requests would satisfy that criteria. Here we've got 78 requests that, again, cover the entire sort of spectrum of Wynn Resort's existence on a whole wide range of host of subject matters without the slightest showing by Team Okada that they have anything to back these up other than might. And in fact, that word was the most, there were two words that were commonly used at the oral argument in the district court. The two most common words were might and pretext. Well, we claim that maybe the board was motivated by something other than Director Freeh's findings in this redemption. Maybe they were worried about something else, and so they might have decided to do this redemption in order to cover up something. We don't know what, but as long as we claim that there was a pretext, that opens the door wide open to discovery. And what I would ask this court to think about is the consequences of such a standard in discovery. Think about every derivative lawsuit, every shareholder action. All that's going to be required now to say that every shareholder and every derivative claimant gets to go into the bowels of the corporation and have unlimited discovery because they get lawyers who say, well, maybe or might have the board been motivated by something else when it approved that merger. Might have the board been motivated by something else when it approved that transaction. According to Mr. Okada, that's all you have to say. Might, maybe, or could have, and that opens the door to discovery. That, I would submit, cannot be the standard that this court should approve of. There has to be something. There has to be a factual basis. Mr. Okada was on the board. Most of these things that he now says he needs to investigate were publicly disclosed in public filings with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. He raised no issue about any of them. Until when? Until Director Freeh found out and reported to the board what was going on in the Philippines about Mr. Okada's company and the amount of money that they were spreading around involving their own regulators. And so that's why we have petitioned this court on these particular 78 requests, because it covers, it is the very definition of a blanket discovery order that this court has, my recollection is 1977, this court indicated that such orders are not allowed. There has to be some basis for a finding of relevancy. There has to be some factual basis for the request. And obviously, it can't be so draconian that a plaintiff or the party, the requesting party, has to be able to prove their case before they're entitled to discovery. We're not asking for that. And I think that's completely unrealistic. But there must be a factual basis in order to seek discovery. You have to be able to say, here is some evidence that points in this direction, so we're entitled to pursue it. It cannot be, well, maybe something happened, maybe the board was motivated, and that's sufficient to get you over the discovery hurdle.
You indicated that there were two issues. I'm going to move you into the second one in light of time that has to do with the lack of findings made in the court below. It's something that this court has spoken to on several occasions, and we're pretty clear, I think, in that regard. Do I understand the record correctly, though, that no request was made in the district court for further findings to be done?
I don't, Your Honor, I don't believe that that's true, because I think if you look at the hearing transcript from this, in fact, my colleague, Mr. Pisanelli, had even said to the court, just pick one of these, and we'll talk about them and demonstrate to you that there's nothing in there. And in fact, the district court looked at only one of them and discussed it, and that's it. And then Mr. Okada's team prepared the order, and the order is a one-sentence, granted, motion granted, as to, and then it lists 78 different requests. There is, and the only statement that the district court issued at the hearing was this pretext argument. They claim it's all pretext, so therefore that opens the door to everything.
So no motion practice following receipt of that order?
There was motion to stay practice and then this writ, but just said there was not a motion to ask the court to enter greater findings. That is true.
Thank you.
I thank the court, but I'll reserve the rest of my time unless the court has questions for me. Thank you.
Mr. Pete.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice and Justices. Stephen Peake on behalf of the Aruze parties. May it please the court. Your Honor, it's the last time we were before you, Mr. Weiss explained at length that Judge Gonzalez is intimately familiar with this case based on her 3 years of experience and that she is, quote, beyond hands-on. He told you it was imperative that this court respect her discretionary management of discovery, and we agree with him. Today, however, he asks you to disregard your experience with and knowledge of this record. Let me read to you from the transcript of what she said when she made the order that Wynn asked you to overturn. The motion is granted. The pretext issue that has been raised by the Aruze parties is one that is subject to discovery. While it may not be something that ultimately has any relevance in the after the motion practice in this case, I'm going to permit discovery on the issue. Anything else? Mr. Pisanelli. Your Honor, every single one of these? The court. Yeah. The only one, after I'm sitting here reading through them again, the only one I had serious questions about, Mr. Pisanelli, I had narrowed it down to 89, 122, 124. And I read through all those again. And I asked Mr. Peake about the question about 89 yet again, which had to do with that category, and he answered. And based upon his response, I'm going to permit the discovery. Is this evidence of an abuse of discretion? The answer is no. This is conclusive evidence of the exercise of thoroughly informed discretion by the lower court. So what is it that Wynn Resorts really wants you to do? It is this. Review the same information made available to the district court, apply the same legal standard that she applied, but come to a different conclusion, substituting your judgment for hers. But before we say more about the district court's informed exercise of discretion, let's consider the rule of writ practice that discovery orders are generally not subject to writ review. Wynn Resorts says that the rule is subject to an exception for, quote, blanket discovery orders without regard to relevance. But this is not a, quote, blanket discovery order without regard to relevance, end quote, and it is not subject to writ review. Granting the writ, Wynn seeks, would have far-reaching implications. It would invite writ review of routine pretrial document discovery disputes, which this court has historically left to the district courts. Every single time the court has invoked the so-called blanket discovery orders exception, it has done so to review an order requiring an individual to disclose personal and private financial or medical information. That was the case in Schlatter, in Clark, and in Hedder. Those cases dealt with an individual's disclosure of personal tax returns or personal medical records. Interlocutory appeal in those cases was appropriate because a person's private financial and or medical records are sensitive information that, once disclosed, would cause real, immediate, irreparable harm to the person that could not be undone. The same cannot be said of corporate business records produced under a stipulated protective order, which is what we are dealing with in this case. To expand the scope of this exception to shield routine, non-privileged corporate business records, as when asked, will lead, as I said, to a flood of writ petitions. Asking you to look over the shoulder of the district judge and say whether she or he made the right decision that certain documents are or are not relevant or reasonably calculated to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence. What distinguishes the discovery order here from those that district courts issue every day? Every day. Nothing. Because there is no meaningful distinction here to be drawn. The dispute is over relevance, which the district court resolved after carefully reviewing the record and hearing the parties on the subject discovery. For these reasons, writ review in this case is unwarranted. There's no precedent and no justification to shield Wynn from ordinary discovery, and that is sufficient reason alone to deny this petition. The second reason to deny this petition is that Judge Gonzalez did not abuse her discretion. Who better to handle this case than the district court with those 3 years of experience in this case and intimate familiarity with the contentions, the claims, and the issues?
Mr. Peek, it's my understanding that Judge Gonzalez handled all discovery issues herself as opposed to through the discovery commission?
That is correct, Justice Gibbons. She handles them routinely in all business court cases. District courts handle these every day, and they have should have that broad discretion to manage their cases. Wynn Resorts' briefing this time says virtually nothing about the district court's discretion. In its brief, Wynn Resorts repeatedly presents disputed issues as though those disputed issues have been conclusively resolved in its favor. Its briefs are shot through with factual distortions, but this court must resolve all doubts in favor of the district court's order and Wynn Resorts, and against Wynn Resorts. The court is not in a position to weigh the evidence or make the factual determinations or agree with the factual determinations presented by Wynn. Wynn Resorts claims that the district court applied the wrong legal standard, making the demeaning, irresponsible statement that the district court said, quote, the proper scope of discovery includes anything an opponent wants, end quote. But the record before you demonstrates that the district court was and is fully aware of the correct legal standard, whether the information requested is reasonably calculated to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence. Please recall from the excerpt that I just read to you that the district court applied that standard here. And she told Mr. Pisanelli, I've looked at these again. She said it three times, again, again, and again. She looked at the record. She looked at the appendix that was attached, the long Excel spreadsheet that identified the relevancy and the reason it calculated to lead to discovery of admissible evidence in each and every one of the requests. In reality, Wynn Resorts' complaint is simply that the district court made the wrong call and that you should make the call otherwise by disregarding the informed basis on which the district court exercised its discretion. Why? Because Wynn says we did not cite any actual evidence, and our entire theory to justify discovery is based on speculation and lawyer argument. Easy to say, but demonstrably wrong. Our motion, and as I said, that lengthy spreadsheet laid out a simple and straightforward theory that we will present to the jury. Mr. Okada was forced out of the company as a pretext because he had become a threat to Mr. Wynn. We cited specific facts to support our contention. And interestingly, they say to you, I must give the district court facts of a pretext before I can go forward on the pretextual theory. Well, those facts are within their control. For instance, we showed that Mr. Nguyen had lost half of his stock in a divorce, making Mr. Okada by far the largest shareholder of Mr. Nguyen's company and thus a threat to Mr. Nguyen's control. Mr. Nguyen went from 20% to 10%. Mr. Okada had 20%. Elaine Nguyen had the other 10%. Between the two of Mrs. Nguyen and Okada, they would hold 30%. Soon after, Mr. Okada had objected to the $135 million charitable donation that Nguyen Resorts and Nguyen Macau had made to an entity connected to government officials in Macau soon after that divorce. Within 3 months after this, Nguyen was awarded an incredibly valuable land concession on the Cotai Strip by the Macau government, a land concession Nguyen had been unable to obtain for the preceding 5 years. Mr. Okada began asking questions, and that is when Nguyen pulled out all the stops to throw Mr. Okada out. These are facts that we presented to the district court in our motion and reply, along with many others, all of which support our pretextual theory.
Why doesn't the order contain that information? I find the following facts. This is what this order is based upon.
Your Honor, that's a good question. I saw that was asked by Justice Seda. This order was an order that was presented to the other side to review and consider. It was something they had the opportunity to ask for specific findings. It's not customary for this court to generally enter facts in support of the motion because it refers to the pleadings, it refers to the attachments of the pleadings, and it refers to the arguments of counsel, and then it grants the motion.
When you say this court, you're talking about the district court?
I'm talking about Judge Gonzalez.
Were there any motions made, Mr. Peek, by either side to amend the order after it was sent?
There were none. In fact, as I said, Justice Gibbons, this order, which is customary in her practice, is first submitted to the other side for their review and comment. Before it ever goes to the district court, they offer objections, they offer comments, they offer edits. Then after that, it is submitted to the court if the parties reach agreement. If they don't reach agreement, oftentimes competing orders are submitted.
So then is there an exception that we're looking at with respect to findings of fact, which was the premise of my question to Mr. Weiss? Is there an exception to be made in the business court because of the very hands-on nature that that judge has? Or, as you have just pointed out, is it sufficient to have the exchange of that order among and between the parties prior to the signing? Are we making an exception, or are we just following what appears to be the use of discretion by a district judge who's very involved in business law cases?
Justice Sada, I think it's more the latter in this case. And I practiced in front of this court. I have the Jacobs case in front of this court. I have this case in front of this court, and I have two other cases in front of this court.
Oh, we know.
Sorry. Nguyen Resorts claims that our theory is too speculative, but it never explains why it's speculative. If, for example, there are emails showing that Steve Nguyen felt threatened by Mr. Okada, clearly that would be relevant. The district court, based on her close review of our discovery requests, reasonably exercised her discretion and permitted the discovery that is now being condemned by Nguyen.
Was there going to be any in-camera review of any of the 78 requests?
No, because at this time it was just non-privileged business records is what the order was. It wasn't to produce privileged records. That will come later. If they have a claim of privilege on those records that we request, they will certainly redact, put on a privilege log, not produce, put on a privilege log, and we can address those issues to the district court at that time.
So you're looking for an order that will be a couple lines that say we'll not intervene at this time?
That's correct. I am.
But that doesn't mean we won't intervene later.
I understand that. Nguyen Resorts also claims, well, let me back up. This court should not ignore or set aside her considered judgment. It also claims that even if we are right, that the removal of Mr. Okada was a pretext designed only to protect Mr. Nguyen, it does not matter because the board's business judgment is immune from scrutiny. But the business judgment rule protects individual directors from liability, not the company, for its wrongful acts. There's been no determination that this case is even governed by the business judgment rule. In fact, Judge Gonzalez suggested in a recent hearing that it is not. At a minimum, this court should not make that determination in the first instance. And even if the business judgment rule does apply, the board of directors' meetings and the director's lack of independence from Mr. Wynn are necessarily discoverable issues. Those go to the heart of the business judgment rule. Bottom line issue is whether or not our discovery requests are reasonably calculated to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence. District courts, particularly the business courts, handle these cases every day, and they must have the broad discretion necessary to manage their cases. Now, after this review, it is understandable that Wynn Resorts' briefing says next to nothing about the district court's discretion. The district court was thoroughly informed, applied the correct legal standard to the discovery in issue, and reasonably, not arbitrarily, exercised her discretion to the order of the discovery Wynn wishes to avoid. She should not be condemned for doing her job, which the law requires of her. For these reasons, the petition should be denied. And let me address one small point. They talk about the business judgment rule, and they talk about the investigation of Free. What they don't tell you is that the facts that Free found were within the peculiar knowledge of Wynn in 2010. In 2010. But it was in 2011 that Mr. Okada made his objection, and it was in 2000 to the donation, and it was in 2011 that he received the land concession. So trumpeting to you facts that they knew in 2010 that didn't come to light until after the donation, after the land concession, when they hired Louis Free. They knew these facts. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Peek. Mr. Bice, you have 446.
Let me, if I might, go about it this way. The reason that the order is silent as to any rationale is because there is no rationale. The suggestion now made by the Okada parties that it was our burden to draft an order or object to an order that contained no findings is a bit nonsensical. The reason that there are no findings is because there was none offered to the district court by the Okada parties, the proponents of the motion. That's where this whole problem falls down. They could offer nothing. They say, and they tell you, that they offered evidence to the district court. You'll notice that in their answering brief, or I'm sorry, in their answer to our petition, they don't cite any of it. They only cite, and this is why we pointed out in the reply, they cite their own naked arguments as the citations to the record in support of their answering brief. There is nothing. There's not a single declaration offered from Mr. Okada or Mr. Okada's personnel as to how they somehow had questions about these very transactions that they now say we should go backwards over a decade, clear back to 2002 from the company's inception and move forward. That's not an accident. And so that is fundamentally where this problem comes from. His defense has been not to address what he was doing in the Philippines, because it is obvious what he was doing in the Philippines. And to come into the court then and say, well, I now want to say that maybe the board was motivated by something else. The silly argument, and I don't mean that disparagingly, but it is a silly argument to say that Mr. Wynn was worried about Mr. Okada's voting power. Mr. Wynn's voting power decreased after the redemption. Because of the capital stock had decreased, Mr. Wynn's personal voting power was diminished as a result of the redemption of Mr. Okada's shares.
Mr. Bice, how about the argument being posited by the respondent in this case that if we start getting into discovery disputes, I'm sorry, the argument made that if we get into discovery disputes at this stage that we will become I think once described by my colleague, a super discovery commissioner.
Yes, and Justice Sata, I have, in fact, argued that to the court in other contexts, and I think I argued that very point to this court relative to the Okada deposition. But this dispute falls into what you even observed in the Okada case, in your published decision. This case falls within the presumption. There are two categories that this court has recognized for nearly 40 years. warrant this court's intervention by way of extraordinary written discovery matters. One, privileged questions, and two, blanket discovery orders that make no determination as to relevancy and just order a wholesale production, which is exactly what this order does. There is not the slightest findings, the slightest even rationale offered in the district court's decision. And I understand that the district court is very busy. I do. I recognize that fact. But we have in this particular case hundreds and hundreds of document production requests served. They move on 78 of them, and the district court grants them in bulk, in their entirety, with no discussion, no limitations, no findings whatsoever as to how these could plausibly be relevant to the claims and defenses asserted in this action. The only argument made is this pretext argument. Because I want to hypothesize that maybe somebody was motivated by something else, therefore that opens the door to discovery. If I'm a wrongfully terminated employee, I guess all I have to say now in discovery is, well, I think that the corporation was motivated to fire me because they thought I was going to find out about something. I don't know what I was going to find out about, but that's what they feared, and that's why they fired me. So now, I, as a former employee, and I filed my wrongful termination suit, I'm claiming pretext. I'm saying you fired me as a pretext. Now, by using the word pretext, I've opened the entire vault of the company's corporate existence. By the way, this corporation is one of Mr. Okada's competitors. But now the competitors' vaults are opened wide because I use the word pretext. That's all I have to do in the Okada world to claim that I'm entitled to discovery. That's where we part company with the district court, because that was just accepted, carte blanche, without any restrictions, and it opened the door.
All right, thank you, Mr. Weiss. I don't believe there are any questions. The court will be in recess for 5 minutes to allow counsel in the guardianship case to come forward. And we thank Mr. Weiss for their arguments, and the case will stand submitted.